I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
She's got a way about her.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. You can check us out on the TV side on NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline, it's our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author and Washington Post columnist. Golfers, it's never too early to prepare for the 2023 season. Golfdom can fit you for the latest clubs to get you ready for the season. Also visit Golfdom and Tyson's for the latest cold weather gear. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Morning, fellas. How's everybody?
Doing all right. Doing Are you excited for the wild card weekend?
I don't think excited is the word. I'm interested. I don't think I'll watch all the games, but I'll watch. I think there are two teams, the Ravens and Dolphins, who have basically no chance because they're playing second or third string quarterbacks and going on the road. So I don't see how they're going to compete. Of course, 49ers have a third string quarterback and they're 5-0. So I'm interested, but not, you know, I'll be watching a lot of basketball over the weekend too, and some golf I would think too.
Look at you watching the golf,
watching a little Sony.
a little bit. I like watching golf from Hawaii because it's so pretty.
Yeah,
and I played wildlife, so I played Kapalua too, so I'm familiar with the
John,
two golf courses.
Are you mad that they're hyping up this the 25th anniversary of the Sony Open?
Well, no, I don't care. I mean,
well,
they've been playing in Hawaii 64. For a lot more than 25 years. Sony just became the sponsor, I guess, 25 years ago. Who pays attention? I don't pay attention to the corporate sponsors because they come and go.
Right.
Even Honda, which is the longest running sponsor on the tour, it'll be 43 years this year, is leaving because they're not one of the elevated events, and they're like, well, how do we get a field? And so, no, I'm not all excited about it being the 20th. They've been playing in Hawaii since the 60s.
Will you follow the Netflix show of the guys?
Full,
I know that's
full
not your
swing.
Thing.
You mean a Good Walk Spoiled TV version?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they should call it, except for the fact that there won't be anything negative. I mean, it's a PGA Tour production. I'm not going to get very excited about that.
I think that's true. But still
an insight. I'm still into it.
I mean, it doesn't have to only be, like, have negative stuff. It could still
be interesting. I mean, look, if you read A Good Walk Spoiled, there's a lot of positive stuff.
Yeah.
But it's also true stuff, you know, what guys were going through, guys struggling. That's why, you know, it was Mark Twain who said golf is a good walk spoiled. The answer is I'm not excited. I probably won't watch.
Hilarious. But couldn't I make the argument, John, and I know where you're coming from, but couldn't I make the argument that it's just like Hard Knocks? It's a golf's version of Hard Knocks?
Yeah, no, that's a good argument. Although the one thing about Hard Knocks that's always been interesting to me is they do choose a couple of borderline guys to follow, and inevitably at least one or two of them get cut.
Right.
And that's real. Yep. That's real life, and I enjoy that. I don't enjoy the guys getting cut per se, but I enjoy the storyline.
Drama.
Yeah, and I don't see this happening. Although, you know, Hard Knocks is controlled by the NFL.
For sure.
It's HBO produced, but it's with NFL films or whatever it is.
Speaking of, so the Commanders are one of the four teams, and we know Roger gets a choice in this. Right, ultimately, he's going to be the one.
I would assume.
Not HBO. They might have a lot. They might lobby, but he's going to make the final call. Is there any way he gives the Commanders any shine with all the drama surrounding? Even if Dan's gone, you still have all the lawsuits and all that. I mean, they don't want to put a positive light. They don't want any attention to the Commanders, do they?
I think you're probably right, but if by chance there's a new owner in place, although I don't think there will be by the time they make this decision, but if there were, they might want to put a spotlight on, oh, look, we have a great new owner.
Turn it all around.
Yeah. You know, and the owners traditionally are a big part of Hard Knocks. I mean, when it was the Cowboys, 90% of it was Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. But it would be kind of amusing if they chose the Commanders while Dan still owned the team, because you wouldn't see any of the owner then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd see a lot of Jason Wright. I agree with you. I think it's unlikely that they pick the Commanders, unless, as I said, you know, Roger knows something about a new owner that we don't know.
Right.
John, let's switch over to college basketball. It's getting really ugly at Georgetown at this point.
Oh, it's not getting really ugly.
Like, 27 straight.
Yeah, but their last win was at home against Siena like 3 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah, that was the game where they gave away tickets and 3,000 people showed up.
Yeah.
You know.
But what's his buyout? Is it $15 million?
I don't know, to be honest.
It's pretty high.
It's high, but they don't have a choice. Uh-huh. And I know DeGioia loves Patrick.
Yeah.
DeGioia is one of those college presidents who thinks he knows something about sports and thus is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
He's a chairman of some NCAA committee. You know, all these guys are chairmen of committees that have to do with sports and know nothing about sports. But I would imagine... He's got to have alumni and boosters all over him saying, look, this isn't personal. I mean, Patrick's a hero at Georgetown and always will be. But clearly, it's not worked. It's not like the 27-game Big East losing streak you're referencing, Jason, is you know, just came out of the blue.
That's hard to do. I'm sorry.
It's really hard to do.
Yeah.
Really hard to do, especially when DePaul's in the league. And they've already lost to DePaul once. And the thing is, they've never been good under Patrick except for 3 days 2 years ago.
Yep.
When they somehow won the Big East tournament. I don't know how that happened. Nobody knows how that happened. Villanova was without their best player when they beat him. But still, it doesn't matter. You play who shows up. And they've got to do something. And I've said this before, and you guys know how much I respected John Thompson the Elder. In spite of all of our battles through the years, he came to be someone. I co-dedicated Raise a Fist, Take a Knee to him because he was he mentored me in many ways on that book. But it's you got to cut the Thompson ties. It's been 50 years. You know, you had John, you had Craig Eschrick, you had Little John, and now you have Patrick. And it's time to start all over. It's time to look outside and bring someone in who says, okay, the statue's still there and will always be there, but we're doing things in a completely different way. To do it.
What is the consensus amongst the basketball junkies?
Same thing.
No. Understood they got to move on. But the cause, is Patrick getting out coached or is he getting out recruited or both?
I'd say both. I wrote this when they first hired him, that I understood the sentiment behind the hiring, and they needed John's approval, and he was willing to approve Patrick. He probably would not have approved of somebody from the outside, quote-unquote. But here's the thing. Patrick never coached in college.
Right.
He never recruited. He was an NBA guy. He should have had an NBA job, and he might have done well as an NBA coach. Well, I don't think we'll ever know at this point, but you know, but they brought him back because he's Patrick Ewing, all caps. But the problem is, he last played in the NBA in 1998. So he's recruiting kids who weren't born when he was a basketball player. They might know the name, but they don't know who he was. They don't know what a giant he was in college basketball. They don't know what a great NBA player he was. You know, I mean, you talk about recency. With 18-year-old kids, you know, I mean, the only former players they know are Shaq and Charles Barkley because they're on commercials 24 hours a day.
And John, I think you touched on this last week too. The fact that they play in a cavernous arena that's not on campus only hurts them at this point.
Right. You know, even when Ewing was there, they moved into Capitol Center, Ewing's freshman year. Mm-hmm. And even when, you know, they went to three Final Fours in 4 years, they didn't sell out Capitol Center except maybe for a you know, a game against Syracuse.
Or UConn or something.
UConn, when UConn got good.
Yeah.
But the building was rarely sold out. And the same has been true downtown, even when, you know, when they were good. When Little John had some good teams, he went to a Final Four. But they still didn't sell out. You know when you know when I remember them selling out? When they played Duke, and half the crowd were Duke people. It was sort of like being in FedEx Field. And they should have spent the money to build an on-campus gym when they built the, you know, the rec center. They should have built an 8,000-10,000 seat on-campus gym. That's perfect for a private school.
What does McDonough seat?
Like 1,500.
Oh, under 2,000. Four. Under four.
Under four? Small. Well, that'd be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, well, for now it would be perfect. You're right.
They wouldn't, I mean, they wouldn't sell that out.
They totally should do it.
Yeah.
For now,
it would be a great move because then you'd have a packed building. Yeah. Or close to packed, maybe not
you'd
totally
have a
packed.
Vibe on campus.
Well,
know?
John, it's going to
well,
get.
Well, also, all these administrators like DeGioia talk about student athletes and their student body and everything. Well, obviously, it's not best for the players or for the kids who want to go to the game to have to schlep downtown rather than just walk to an on-campus gym.
Of course.
And, John, it's going to get – I mean, they got two road games. Villanova, now, Villanova's down, but it's a road game, and then they're not beating Xavier. So you're probably looking at 29 consecutive losses, and then you get DePaul at home. Maybe you beat them. But
maybe, although I think I told you guys last week that I thought they were going to beat Butler at home because Butler's not very good. And they lost 80-51.
They got pummeled. Right.
Shows you how much I know.
Well, do you think they would?
It's a sad situation. It really is because they were one of the programs. I mean, in the 80s, you know, this is a true story. And John even wrote about this in his autobiography. Chris Webber, Juan Howard, Jalen Rose, Grant Hill, and someone else came to D.C. and they were going to just get in a car. They were in high school, and they were going to drive through schools, you know, to see him unofficially while people weren't escorting him around. And they met for lunch at Clyde's, and Calvin Hill bought them all lunch. And he said to the five players, so what's your schedule? Where are you going to start? And Chris Webber answered and said, well, we want to start with the two HBCUs that are here in Washington, Howard and Georgetown. They thought Georgetown was an HBCU, and a lot of people in the country thought that way. You know, John got criticized for having all-black rosters, and his answer, which made sense to me, was, I'm a black coach. I have an advantage recruiting black players, and most of the best players are black. and they were like a symbol for a lot. You know, you saw black kids all over the country wearing Georgetown caps. Not anymore.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if they make the move mid-season.
No, I don't think they will.
Or they'll just wait,
I don't think they will. I think, again, DeGioia likes Patrick, and he's not going to embarrass him that way. Well, the only way it would happen mid-season, and I don't see this, is if they got to 29 or 30 Big East losses in a row, and Patrick just said, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, I wonder, would Patrick just say, just spare everyone and just bow out gracefully?
I think when it happens, he will announce his resignation. They won't fire him.
Right.
But it'll be forced.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It won't be an optional resignation. I like that phrase. Mm-hmm. And they need to start over again. A headhunter, when Little John got fired, I shouldn't keep calling him that, but John the Third got fired, called Tommy Amaker and said, you know, we'd like to talk to you. And Tommy said, I'm not having it out there that I'm looking, because he grew up a Georgetown fan and he loved John Thompson the Elder. Unless you tell me that I'm not just another candidate so people can say that they looked at somebody other than Ewing, because he knew Ewing was getting the job. That wouldn't be a bad move. Go get Tommy Amaker. DC guy. You know, grew up loving Georgetown, knows the history of the program, but would come in with a completely different mindset.
All right, John. What are you doing tonight?
tonight, Friday night. Kane, what are we doing tonight?
Friday the 13th. Yeah, what are you doing?
It is. Oh, it is Friday the 13th. Yeah, I thought you guys would bring that up earlier because my mother was very superstitious. And she had all these various superstitions, and the 13th was one of them. So we'll probably lay low in honor of my mother.
All right.
Thank you, John.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yep, you too.
See you later.
Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom. Golfers, never too late. Actually, never too early to prepare for your 2023 season. Golfdom can fit you for the latest clubs to get you ready for the season. Also, visit Golfdom and Tysons for the latest cold weather gear. Golfdom, live the game. Coming up next, we'll shift gears, open up EB's entertainment page here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. I'm continued to be blown away by the amount of Commanders fans that want Sam Howell to start in week one.
Is it increasing?
The Howell Hive is thriving.
Is that what we put up? We put something up on our Junkies Facebook page, facebook.com/thejunks, and it just said Derek to DC with a picture of Derek Carr. Question mark. I mean, in like 5 minutes, it seemed like there were 100 responses, and all of them are like out on Derek Carr and in on Sam Howell.
Well, I can see why they'd be out. I mean, they probably figure with Carr, they're kind of going down the same road as they did with Wentz, where you're going to overpay for just an average to below average quarterback, and they don't want to do that. Because the last four guys that they've tried, you know, including Alex Smith and Fitzpatrick and guys like that, just didn't work out. So they probably just want to start from scratch.
That's clearly the fans' mindset, but that doesn't mean that it's not Ron's mindset.
I understand that.
Because Ron needs a double-digit win season and playoffs to have any prayer of staying here past year four.
Right, but Jason's all over it. That is kind of the main rationale. Here's one from Robert. Stop taking cast-offs. Keep our two young quarterbacks for next year and use the extra money to build the O-line.
And they might do that, but like you said, Cakes, they may just go in another direction and go try and sign a Garoppolo or a Carr, and they might feel like they've got the defense and the running game and the parts on the outside to make the playoffs with more of an established guy, but that just has not worked.
Here's another response, typical. No, please pass on Carr. Stick with Howell. Draft O-line. Draft Caleb Williams and bring him home to D.C. the following year. So I said this yesterday. It's true. Yeah. Everybody would love to have Caleb Williams. You're going to have the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Which means you're going to have the worst record in the league, or you're going to have to make a trade for him. And that is punting next year. So are you willing to have a 2-15 season?
Well, Ron's certainly not willing to do that. Ron's hanging off for dear life. He can't turn in a 3 or 4 win stinker. He's got to win 9 or 10 games to have any sort of future in the NFL, whether it's here or in another city.
Look, Derek Carr could end up, let's say theoretically he came here, he could end up being like all those other guys who failed. I thought Donovan McNabb was a home run when Shanny brought
him
in.
She did.
It didn't work. You thought Fitz was going to work. Injuries.
Mm-hmm.
EB thought Wentz was going to work. 60%. I was with you. Didn't work. It should be an independent analysis of, is this guy going to work?
Definitely.
The history shouldn't sway, but it definitely has affected the fans because they are out on Derek Carr.
Beaten down.
And so many just want to go with Sam Howell.
It's literally just off the top of my head. Let's just say you're dating a hot chick. Great relationship for a while, but doesn't work out. Then you date another hot chick. Great relationship for a while, but then it doesn't work out. And then you start to realize, you know what? Maybe I got to stop dating this, like, only hot chicks. Maybe I need somebody with some depth. You know, I need
but
a little bit
more. Maybe you can find
that.
The hot chick with the depth.
Okay, it's true.
Like, that's my point with the quarterback. I get what you're saying. You've been burned. Burned many times. We just went through it. I don't know when you walked in, but we went through it. From McNabb all the way to Wentz. They've been burned.
Hasn't worked.
But if you're Ron
Rivera.
But they've
also been burned.
Go ahead.
As I said, they've also been burned drafting that quarterback high.
Right, we've done that too.
So every direction they go.
So couldn't you be burned, though, if you go with Sam Howell? You build up the offensive line. What if Sam Howell sucks?
Well, then you draft another guy high.
But you can
then
never
the cycle
go
just
wrong.
Continues.
You just turn the page.
Listen, here's one thing you can't go wrong with. An awesome offensive line. And, you know, it's old school and people don't like it, but we won Super Bowls with, I mean, Joe T was an icon, but, you know, he's not going to the Hall of Fame. I love Joe T. Is it, you know,
because of the Hogs?
Yeah, I mean, Rippin won a Super Bowl. I mean, Doug, God bless
Doug
Williams.
Riggins
Doug Williams is an icon here, and he's one. I've never been more inspired than when I sat down and we did table manners with him, and he told all these stories.
Yeah,
you know, about sort of like Little League and how they tagged him hard, and you know, all the racial stuff he had to deal with.
Yeah.
Really inspired me. But Doug Williams went on a miraculous late run that defined his entire career, but he didn't really play like that as a pro. Like, he played out of his mind. He had, like, a Nick Foles-like run.
Correct.
Right? So, correct. And what was the theme? We had great offensive lines. And I know it's a different era.
Yeah. Surprise is the combo. It's the fill-in-the-blank quarterback from the outside, pretty much not interested. Okay? Derek Carr, like I said, it's two-thirds, but if you looked at our Facebook page, in 5 minutes, there's 100 comments. No, hell no, not interested.
Well,
who's a pretty good quarterback, right? So that's part of the equation. The other part of the equation is the willingness to just say, we're going to start Howell in week
well,
one.
Well, it's also recency bias because it's what the fans recently saw. And, like, you're willing to just roll the dice on Howell after one performance? I mean, I just think that is a huge risk.
And I'm not knocking the guy. He could end up being a really good quarterback in the league. It's just a risky play.
He deserves a shot at winning the job, but you can't on January 13th say, all right, Hal's our guy.
No.
And just go get a backup next
year. No, what you need to do is you need to bring in whoever you bring in other than a high-priced guy, and the best man win the job.
Yeah.
Through everything, through all their workouts, through real meaningful preseason action and train all the training camp stuff, inter-squad scrimmages, everything. And the best man has to win the job. But to just anoint another team's garbage as the number one guy coming in, we've kind of been down that road
for
30 years, and it's over, you know.
And I don't see Heinicke being here. I understand he's a great backup plan, and if you need him as a starter for a month, he's awesome. But I just don't see him here with Howell and then whoever the third quarterback you bring in is. I see him just moving on to a different spot.
I agree with you.
The head coach isn't going to just always be looking to upgrade over him.
Except that he's gone on record that he loves being here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's okay with being a backup. I get the feeling, and I think this might be short-sighted on his part, but maybe not. I think he'd take less money to be here. Whereas you got a short window here, bro. Go get your $7 to $10 million and be a backup for somebody else.
I would go get paid.
No, but I'm telling you, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah. He's a great teammate.
And he's gone on record.
Depends
Jason.
On how much less it is.
You're right. But he's gone on record and kind of said, yeah, I really like being here. And he has the perspective of a guy who a year and a half ago was on his sister's couch.
But like,
he knows the value of just being on a team.
But if the Arizona Cardinals, the Cardinals call him this offseason, say, look, Kyler Murray's banged up. He's rehabbing from an ACL.
We're moving on from Colt.
Colt and Blau and all those guys, they're out of here.
Go live out in Scottsdale, and we're going to pay you $7 million.
We're going to give you a 3-year, like, $24, $25 million deal. Like, how's he going to turn that down?
Or a two-year, you know, 14.
I just don't see him bypassing that. Certainly taking less money to stay here. I think he would bolt with the quickness. I think the whole thing, I love being here, it's awesome, could be, you know, orchestrated PR. I mean, he seems genuine.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take him at face value, but some of it could just be, you know, I've loved my time here. If I wind up back here, great. But I'm going to keep my house.
It just blows me away that every single offseason since Cousins was here, and kind of even since Cousins was signing those franchise tags.
Well, they were never
tags,
happy with Cousins.
Right. They're always in that same position. What do we do at that position? How do we go out and get another quarterback? And they're going to be in that same spot again.
They haven't. I think I could say this as a fan. We haven't been happy more than a year or two with a quarterback since Joe Theismann. And that ended abruptly.
I mean, I would say maybe with Cousins for a couple seasons.
But they were never happy. Yeah. You always knew he was just waiting to get out of here. We were hoping against hope maybe that he would stay.
I mean, RG3 for 1 year.
Yeah, it's 1 year. For everybody's 1 year.
Isn't the number 28 different starting quarterbacks since Dan Snyder took over as the owner?
Yeah.
Just think about
that.
It back in 23 years.
I'm dating it back even before that.
Sure.
But because of that history, most of the fans are out on a guy like Derek Carr, who would be an upgrade. Now, some people believe Derek Carr could end up being like Carson Wentz, and that's because they've been burnt. And I'm telling you, I've never seen the amount of responses and like the vehement no's on a guy who's pretty good. Derek Carr's a pretty good quarterback.
No, he's good. But here's the other part of that equation. So you see a guy like Taylor, who's just a blood and guts guy, right? Heart and soul guy who grinds out 7 wins with marginal talent. So people go, well, if Taylor can win 7, why can't, if you beef up the team around him, why couldn't a guy like Howell or someone to his equivalent do the same thing, right? You got to really be bad to win 2 or 3 games. This team's too good. Sorry. They're not great. They're not even that good, but they're too good to only win 3 games.
But the problem
games.
With that is you
there's too much talent.
Correct.
You want to elevate above. Let's grind out 7 or 8 wins. Like that's just the problem with this franchise. They can't. They're on that.
Of course they want to, but they're thinking, well, maybe how he can get. Maybe he is the guy. But worst case, you could still win 7 or 8. Even worst case,
maybe that's the right play. Yeah. Look,
you know
Jason.
What I mean? Maybe he's the guy. But if not, you can at least get 7.
Jason tweets us nothing against Carr. I personally think he's a good quarterback. However, we have a really good core as a team. Build off how. And look to draft the damn franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and if Hal fails, then you draft somebody. You know, but yeah. The draft is, I said it for decades.
It's a coin flip.
It's a total, you know, nobody knows what you got. I mean, the
right, because you can draft a Zach Wilson.
After 2 years.
Right. Or you draft a Zach Wilson, which blows up.
Yeah, Zach Wilson, awful. Malik Willis, everybody was hyping up Malik Willis as a potential first rounder. He plummeted in the draft.
They benched him for Josh Dobbs.
Yeah.
He's got a long way to go if he wants to develop an NFL quarterback.
Playing quarterback's the hardest job in the world. The second hardest job in the world is scouting one. Being accurate.
Yeah, and then even Mac Jones, who looked like he would have been the guy last year, he kind of regressed this year.
Oh, yeah, people are so out on him, too.
I'm a little confused by all that. Derek Carr, clearly better than Wentz and Heinicke and Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a step above all those guys. And everyone's saying, draft offensive line. You know that according to PFF O-line rankings, 3 out of the bottom 6 teams on offensive line rankings made the playoffs this year, and 5 out of the top 10 best offensive line teams didn't make the playoffs? You still got to have a quarterback.
Way more important.
It's way more important. Yeah, in this.
That's why I'm blown away, Draft. Are you blown away? Because I know you see these responses on Junk's Radio. I've never seen it. I just write Derek to DC and everybody's out.
Everyone's grasping that Sam Howell is the guy.
Yeah.
They're grasping because he doesn't cost a lot and they can reinvest it elsewhere on the team.
They like
Ron is not going into his final year of win or go home with Sam Howell as quarterback. I refuse to believe it. It won't happen.
No, they'll have Sam.
Well, you know, he'll be on the team.
He'll have probably Taylor, because by listening to Martin Mayhew and those guys, they love Taylor. They feel like Taylor was, you know, come in and saved them twice now. They love him.
I got a perfect spot for Taylor. Perfect team for him. He should sign with the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray's going to be out majority of the year. He'll have an entire year to be the starting quarterback, unchallenged. Derek Carr's not going to Arizona or something like that because Kyler's going to come back. So you need a filler. They're not, you know,
that's
maybe
fine.
They draft a rookie.
That team's in flux.
That's a great spot for
the bottom of the standings there in the NFC West.
How about Carson Wentz go there?
Or Carson.
Right. But here's the thing.
But people are going to want Heinicke.
Over Carson? Yeah, maybe. As a backup? Maybe. But either way, I'm just trolling. They're going to bring in somebody else, but I'm not sure it's going to be a high-priced guy.
A Garoppolo type.
I'm not sure. It might be Garoppolo, because you feel like you can...
Well, I mean, just think about all the teams that need those quarterbacks, too. I mean, Indianapolis needs one. Carolina needs one. New Orleans probably needs one. Who am I missing? Tennessee might need one. You know, Washington, I mean, there's only so many guys.
It's a bunch of teams.
Can Ron, he won't with JP, but can Ron buy more equity by saying, I'm starting a rookie. I'm starting a guy who's had basically he played one game. So it's going to take some time.
It's
our fourth year, but we think we can win with Hal in a couple years. But you can't.
By the way,
you can't expect me to win 11 games.
You got to add Vegas. Starting.
His excuse.
Now
is
you add Vegas. That
I'm just
one.
Saying this is. I'm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think his equity officially runs out as soon as Dan Snyder sells the team.
He had that equity last year. He lost it. He lost it in year two with him.
He blew it. He kind of staked his reputation,
right.
And he staked his equity on Carson.
Mm-hmm.
You know who the perfect guy I think that Ron will dial in on. This makes all the sense in the world.
Go ahead,
Marcus Mariota. If he wants to run,
he's got to do better than that.
If he wants to run the ball relentlessly, like he claims, I don't know if I fully buy. Right. You bring in like a Marcus Mariota, not going to cost a ton of money. Then you got
and
Hal
he could
there.
Compete with Hal.
You
if
let
Hal
them battle
beat,
it out.
And, yeah, and if Hal and, beats him out, and, that's, it's believable.
Like, if Hal doesn't beat Marcus Mariota out, then he's garbage.
Well, this is all predicated on who your offensive coordinator is.
True,
be.
But if you're
Mariota is good at the mesh point and run, if you're super
horned up to run the ball like Ron and company, why would you spend $30 million on a quarterback to sling the ball? Like, it runs counter to what you're saying.
I actually like that. That's the perfect guy to bring in because you could somewhat plausibly start him if Hal chokes. You could somewhat plausibly start him.
Yeah, and his stock's low. He's not going to cost you a lot of money.
And if Hal beats him out, of course you buy that.
Well, I think Marcus Mariota. I think he sucks. Don't get me wrong. I'm not stumping for him, but I'm just trying to forecast like who are Ron in the front office. What sort of guys are they going to have on their radar? Like Mariota, Baker Mayfield. Guys like
Brissett,
that.
Brissett, you mentioned.
I think are going to be guys.
No
that they'll
way they
consider.
Bring in Baker. Baker's way too much of a wild card, like personality wise. He's not a Ron type
I just
of guy.
Mean like salary wise, yeah. Like
you mean the tier of players,
of
right?
I like.
Yeah, but there's so
I like
many
the
teams.
Mariota signing, especially if Heinicke goes elsewhere.
Yeah.
If Heinicke signed elsewhere, because Mariota's a good backup. He runs, Jason.
So what? I mean, who cares?
They won.
Did you watch Mariota play this year?
Yeah.
He was terrible.
Look, I watched him almost beat
there's
us.
There's a reason Arthur Smith wanted to run the ball as much as he did. Because he knows that Mariota sucks at passing the ball. It makes sense.
But again, there's going to be, you got to add a couple more teams to that list of teams that are looking for quarterbacks. There's going to be a good 7 to 10 looking for guys.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you're going to get some of those guys in the draft, but. Man, or maybe you just look at the backups and say, we'll just elevate them.
And
but they're the Garoppolos and the Cars of the world, they're going to get sought after.
For entertainment value, I'd love to see Jameis here. He's like the funniest guy on the planet. I would love to see him here, but he doesn't really fit in with, I don't think, Ron's blueprint for success.
No.
He's not a running quarterback. He doesn't really have the wheels, and he's going to throw a bunch of picks, and he's going to be a weirdo. In the locker room. So I don't know if that really works out, but for us, like his workout videos, it would be priceless. Mm-hmm. Endless
right.
fodder.
We said we were going to do the EP, but I'm guessing EV was evacuating during the last break. He came in here about 3-4 minutes later. All right, so we'll do the entertainment page next here on the Junkies. Yeah. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Time now for the entertainment page brought to you by Steven Singer Jewelers. The most hated jeweler in America is not in the jewelry business. That's right. Steven Singer's Jewelers is in the love business. It's the easiest and smartest way to celebrate the real love of your life with real diamonds from a real jeweler you can trust. Go to IHateStevenSinger.com.
All right, boys. We kicked off the show with it. Sad news. Yeah. The fact that Lisa Marie Presley died yesterday at the age of 54. Mm. You know, I don't know if people really realize she actually put out 3 albums of her own.
Could she sing?
I think
so. Or was
it
just the name?
I think she sang.
Did she sing well?
Anybody can sing in the studio.
I have no idea.
I think she did a song. I think Michael Jackson did a song where she sang.
Okay. Really? Maybe she did.
But she had a rough life, man. Rough.
Well, rough life, but I mean, a lot of self-inflicted. He's got, you know, the family's filled with drug and alcohol abuse.
I'm not saying it wasn't, but she just looked so bad
at the Golden Globes. Yeah, she was like holding on to, I don't know.
She couldn't even walk.
Was that her manager? Was that the Danny Keough guy that she apparently was living with again? The father of a couple of her children.
She didn't look happy. She didn't look healthy.
No, she was stumbling and bumbling. Yeah. It was just really, really sad. And it's just awful. But then, you know, the Daily Mail puts in there, you know, the Daily Mail's great for digging up dirt. And I mean, it is a tabloid at the end of the day. They're asking, is a genetic defect behind the early heart attacks? Who knew that the Presleys allegedly may have some of the worst genes ever? Elvis died at 42. Now, is that because he has a genetic defect or is it the drugs and everything? His mother, maybe, died at 46. 3 uncles died in their 40s.
Wow.
Lisa Marie died at 54. Now, I would argue the common theme is drug abuse, alcohol abuse, that sort of thing. They're arguing
that
it's because
help.
He had grandparents that were cousins.
Oh, incest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't.
Who
that's
knows?
That's weird. That's a weird turn that story's taking.
It's a lot of tragedy in that family.
Absolutely.
Even her son committed suicide like 2 years ago.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So just super sad.
Horrible, yeah. And I hate to be shallow. I just remember when she was married to Michael Jackson for a minute, and she did that video around the pool, and she was just a smoke show.
Did they ever consummate the marriage?
I think she claimed they never did, but he might have said that they did. You know, I think there was maybe some controversy around it. It was a big question.
Sure, there was controversy.
Did anybody in the room, though, she was at the Golden Globes because Elvis, the movie, came out, and the actor won the Golden Globe for the best actor. Wasn't Tom Cruise for Top Gun.
Uh-uh.
Did anybody see that movie?
I saw it. Liked it.
You did?
Because Elvis Presley's like an icon, obviously, but I didn't know that much about him and his background.
I
was entertained
on Netflix?
By it.
I think I've seen it somewhere.
I think it's on HBO Max.
Yeah, HBO Max. Yeah. Is it good? I
liked it. I thought it was really good.
Is it cover all of Elvis's life, or is it cover the last couple years?
No, it covers his entire life.
The whole run.
From his youth.
And the guy that won the Golden Globe, he must be good as an actor.
Very good. Yeah.
So I'd never heard of him before.
Yep. Did a really good job.
Let's go to Cowboy.
And he sings
Todd
for real in that movie, I think.
I think he does, yeah.
Cowboy!
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's up, buddy?
What's up?
Hey, it hasn't been talked enough, but yesterday was the greatest show ever on Bit Season. I mean, EB was just radio gold. Like, he needs to just get his own podcast, like, quick. Like, he was like Eddie Murphy, just like in Eddie Murphy role.
Very nice
like,
you said that.
Just, look at these accolades pouring in.
Come on. Why? What was it all about?
I mean, it was just, EB was just like letting it loose. Like, he was.
Just pontificating.
EB back in 1999. Like, he was great.
That's
kind of a backhanded compliment, Cal.
So he peaked in 99?
I told you.
Well, you know what I mean.
Do you like the concept? You can't say it, but the word, obviously, but of what, of what I would name my podcast? Tell the boys. Tell the boys what I would name it. But use the letter.
Say it?
Use the letter.
Yeah. EB's S word. Likes that S. Or don't like that S.
This is good. This is your P1. Eric said he's going to do a solo podcast at home that's called S I Care About.
Right.
Yeah. But put it this way, I listened to Bit Season twice. I listened to it last night and then on my way to work this morning and then recapped. And I was just, it's
I'm
great.
Glad you listened to it. I'm glad that we had fun. Actually had a lot of fun, except when Clary talked.
yeah, that was the best part.
Actually, he was funny. He's got a good story. And apparently, we're going to get into it maybe later in the show. You know that Fleshlight that the boys got?
Mm-hmm.
It was lingering around yesterday, and it was kind of embarrassing.
There's a huge story involving
huge backstory.
Oh, really?
Wasn't there accusations of somebody stealing it?
I think
Drab stealing it?
I don't know
it,
the bottom of that. Drab, did you steal it?
No.
Where was it when Drab was gone? That was the Valdez theory. It might have backfired.
Well, because it was in his office, and then all of a sudden it was gone during Drab's
so
off
where
week.
Where was it?
Mm. It was found last week in Ryan
Clary's bag.
In his backpack.
So he stole it.
Ryan's claiming someone put it in his bag and set him up. He's being framed.
He's planted.
Someone planted evidence on Ryan Clary.
I will say, it's the single grossest toy you could ever imagine. And these guys, can I say what you guys were making us do yesterday?
No,
I don't think you can describe what
we
were doing.
I won't describe, but
we can get into it more at 9:40. You got to listen on the radio, though, or stream on the
or
app.
Or use the Odyssey app. That's the new
Odyssey
bit.
Odyssey app.
The Odyssey app.
The free Odyssey app.
Download the Odyssey app, and we'll tell you. We should actually do a freebie, just a one-off.
Just a taste.
Hey, we should,
at 10 o'clock and tell people.
An extra podcast where we all test it out.
All right. Hey, Cowboy.
I'm intrigued.
Cowboy, thank you. I don't want to do my own podcast. It's too much work.
So coming up in an hour, we're going to find out what you were doing with the Fleshlight.
And the story behind it that was going on.
Who's all?
Well, all those guys.
Drab. Yeah, we Clary.
In order to celebrate our podcast, we ran a show, Choo Choo.
No, we didn't. But we did do something.
All right, we'll find out in an hour. Good tease. Are you already out on your EP?
What else you got?
I got a lot of stuff, to be honest with you. Kanye got married.
What?
Who?
He married one of his designers, some chick, Bianca Censori. Who they say he got married in a secret ceremony. Remember, he was gone for like a month. Somebody was trying to serve him with papers, and they were theorizing.
Where was he hiding out? Does anybody know?
My guess is probably in some hospital.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They probably were, you know, getting him straight.
Sure.
Getting him right.
Bianca Censori, she's got to be hot, right?
Well, they say she's like a dead ringer for Kardashian. You know, he tends to date
girls. Yeah, she looks just like her.
She
looks just like her.
Yeah. So anyway, interesting.
Hotter.
There. I think Adidas has something like, do they have something like $1.5 billion worth of Yeezy shoes that they have to get rid of? I guess they're not going to call them Yeezys, but
they're going to rebrand them.
Adidas shoes we got to get rid of.
Right.
My
coming soon to a third world country near you.
My oldest daughter and my wife were talking about this was mostly
Yeezys and white jerseys. Yeah.
This was mostly information from Kelsey was saying that all of Khloe Kardashian's picture, she's like super skinny now.
Yeah.
But that she got exposed because the grandmother, maybe not in the loop of what Khloe was doing, posted a picture
of her
where she looked
her?
Like normal size and that Khloe's pictures are all fake.
Oh, super filtered.
They're super filtered.
But that she's also taken the drug that I guess all the Hollywood people are taking now.
To get skinny.
To lose weight, yeah.
Hey, we'll ship some over here.
Yeah, I know.
Is it called Adderall? I mean, what are they taking?
No. It's something.
There is some drug that people are taking, but they're saying, though, it could like sort of ruin your appetite forever for certain things.
Right.
Like, it could really mess you up.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily take it. I will say this, mentioning Adidas and being over, you know, all the extra Yeezy shoes. So, yeah, I like a good discount.
Who doesn't?
And yesterday I was just scrolling around. And I'm not embarrassed to admit this. I'm kind of proud of it, actually. I found a silly deal on a jacket. I didn't know that. I love jackets. Yeah. I wear them every day.
Sure. You're wearing an Adidas jacket right now.
I actually went to my oldest daughter mocked me. I said, you need to go to Lulu's site. I said, they have a sale. Like, I think they call it We Made Too Much sale. And supposedly, I think that she said, Dad, they do that every Thursday.
Right.
Oh. I said, well, I didn't know that.
It's their bit.
So I found a silly $300 jacket I'm getting for $100. It's down. I have a pair of Lulu shorts. They're the best shorts I've ever had. Can't wait for this jacket to arrive. I got sick. All I was doing was telling my family, you guys spend all my money.
So it's a winter jacket?
I got 66% off. I'm the king of this.
Why is your daughter making fun of you because you got something on discount?
Because, no, she's making fun of me that I didn't know that every Thursday they have a sale called We Made Too Much or whatever.
How are you supposed to know that?
I don't know.
What is he, a Lulu expert?
Let me know when they're 100% off. Yeah. And then I might be interested.
Really? They actually 100%. Make some nice golf shirts.
I'm sure they do, but.
I'm kind of getting
it. I don't need
it.
66. I need 100.
You do? Okay. All right. You need free. I get it.
You still spent money. I was telling Cakes.
I
saw this comedian recently, and he said, he goes, I can never get a straight answer on my wife's spending. He's complaining about his wife's spending. He goes, every time I ask her how much she spent on the show, she says, it was 50% off.
Yeah. Right.
Don't worry. No, that's, mine says the same thing.
My wife thinks a good sale is 10% off.
Right.
See, that's not a...
No, it's nothing. It's a pittance.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get into some football coming up at 9:20. Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports, NFL writer, NFL insider, will join us as we talk some NFL playoffs here on The Junkies.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.